So this morning, I'm just going to share a little bit about, last week I think Pastor Charlie shared about the journey of Port Care and how it started and how it has progressed over the time. Well, today I'm going to share about what's been happening with our overseas missions and I suppose a bit of the journey or what's been happening really over this past year of what we've been doing and so it's going to be good. So I'll just get to my notes. So I want to just read a scripture out to you first. This is found in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and our theme this year is to go, and the scripture says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure that I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus' command to us is to go into all the world to preach the gospel. Now, you could say, well, what is all the world? Is that just my neighborhood, or is that another town, another district? Or does he want me to go to the deepest, darkest parts of the Amazon or over to wherever? And not all of us are going to be able to actually go, because God hasn't really called us as such as to go out and do missionary work, but we can provide and help help lives in nations where people are struggling, where people are living in difficulty. And as a church in the Western world, where we're pretty well, I know we go through issues and go through troubles ourselves, but most of the time, you know, we have a roof over our heads, we've got three meals a day, we've got clothes on our back. And some of the other nations that we actually are involved with don't have those things. The actual where they live is quite often substandard, and you know, with rains, and they have those rainy seasons, you know, they've got to all creep into a little area, because otherwise they're going to get, because the roofing isn't very good at all, or doesn't really do the job. So we may not be able to go to these nations, but when we actually sow and when we give into our missions program, the money that we raise actually goes to these nations. It goes to the projects that we're working on, and it helps people's lives change. And so hopefully over this morning, and just as we go through a few of the places that we do work, that this is going to just open your eyes to what we do, and perhaps even to the circumstances or the difficulties that some of these people face. And it's just like I was sharing this morning, I've just been so encouraged and even humbled to the fact of, you know, talking with these pastors and hearing what their situations are and what they actually go through. And it just makes, you know, when I hear that, I think of myself and woe is me at times, and the troubles that I might have, they're nothing, they're insignificant to what these people face. And we don't know how fortunate we are living in this nation and in this land, because we're well looked after. So the first place I want to have a look at is in the Philippines, and this is C3 Pasig. I probably said it wrong. And this is the church of Pastor Ronald and Mary Lou. Now, we've been supporting them for probably over 4 or 5 years, predominantly through supplying, helping them with a run. They run a feeding program, So basically, they're going into the slum areas, they're going to the into those neighborhoods, and they're giving out parcels of groceries for families. They're giving out about 100. Yeah, it's Pastor Mary Lee. Yeah, I've got nothing to look. Pastor Mary Lou and Ronald, and then the next slide. You can go to the next one. So they're providing food and groceries for these families that don't have much at all. Now, you can so go to the next slide if we like. So this is really good news for them, because over the past 2 years, when COVID hit, they were locked out of their church. They were locked out basically of any, they were locked out. They couldn't really hold any meetings, so they were having to try and do online Zoom type meetings and try to connect with their congregation in that way. They were fortunate enough still to be able to get out and with the feeding program and still provide food into these neighborhoods. It was a lot more difficult for them. But anyway, and they've had also other problems or difficulties. Pastor Mary Lou had a battle with cancer, breast cancer, but praise God, she's recovered. And we did have helped with medical expenses over that time. But the good news is that after 2 years of not being in their building, they finally made it back. And they, about two Sundays ago, they met back at in their church building. Now, they're the only tenants that were left in this building. This building's obviously had a number of different tenants in. But as everything was shut down, most of the tenants left. They managed to be able to carry on and keep paying the rent, and now they're back and they're the only tenants there. But it's such a great thing. So there's all the food. Oh, this was might have been in the basketball courts, because they were doing outside sort of type meetings in a basketball court, and those are all the bags of food. Now, they were giving out about 100 bags each month, and they were going really to families, and there'd been about six people in a family. So there's probably over 7,000 people that have been reached or have been fed over this past year. So if we weren't supporting this, because we're the only ones that really are helping them and support this, those families wouldn't have been fed. So I think it's a good thing, and we have everything here, but over there they don't. And it's such a blessing to be able to give. And, look, you see all those bags, and we know that we're making a difference in people's lives. So over 7,000 people have been fed, and with over 16, and it may be more, I couldn't quite understand in the clip that he sent me, but it's at least 16, it could be 60, I'm not sure, but I know I'll say 16 at this stage, but these 16 families have come to the Lord and been baptized and are now part of the church there. So that's what we're doing in the Philippines, it's just been a blessing to them. So we'll just move on now, and we're moving now to West Africa. So the Philippines are really, what we've been doing there is just really working with the church and providing the food for them to give out. Now we go to our own churches. These churches are the ones that we've actually planted ourselves. And now, probably of all the places that we could go to plant churches, and in West Africa, it's not easy at all. And we've got Susan here, who's from Liberia, so she knows what it's like to be living there. So we support a couple of churches in Sierra Leone, which we've started. And so I'll just talk a little bit about Sierra Leone. It's very difficult in Sierra Leone. It's probably on par with Liberia as well. Not a lot of difference between the economic conditions. And the pastor that we work with there is Pastor Commander. And, you know, I think I spoke about him last year when I was here. But I always love Pastor Commander. When you do ring him, you say, "How are you going, Pastor?" You say, "Well, God, I give God all the glory. I give God all the glory. It's everything's good. Everything's good." He's always encouraged. You know, always encouraged. You know, he just gives God all the glory, and you know, it's encouraging. He doesn't, you know, the circumstances is difficult, but he doesn't actually go on about all his problems or anything else. But he just He says, "Well, sir, we're getting on with the work. I'm fighting to keep the work going. We're getting the work done. We're getting on with the work." So I said, "Well, that's great, Pastor." And we pray and we talk, and I just encourage him. So in Kono, we bought land probably about 3 years ago, quite a bit of land. Obviously, that land needed to be developed, and we built a church there, and that's the church there. We've still got a few little things to be done. It doesn't show on those photos. There is a little bit of plastering happened around the interior walls. The floor's got to be plastered yet, and we've got windows and doors to go in, which they have got or procured a number of them. So what he's hoping is that that come the end of September, they're going to be able to use it for a school. So that's the plan that he's wanting to do. And also in the land, if you just want to play that video, there's a shot of just around the actual church building. Oh, that was actually earlier on. We did have a few difficulties with walls lining up with where they're supposed to line up, and we had to actually dismantle a few walls and rebuild them, but it's pretty much finished. It's an older, so as I say, we've got the windows now and we have got the doors, and basically most of the inside is plastered. So that one we can then just outside. Sounds like a motorbike's going past. There may be one other one where they've been planting crops. So
I'm taking the video shot.
Yep. Oh, yep. No, we'll just close that one. That's Pastor getting in and sharing. That'll be enough on that one. And the other, no, not that one. No. Yeah, sorry. Oh, we'll leave that. We'll leave that. But anyway, So they've planted crops around the actual church. They've had a few problems where people have got in overnight and actually dug them up and taken them, because they were going to actually use them to actually sell and provide for, you know, the church. So that was a little bit of a blow. But we're planting beans now. They're a little bit more tricky to get in and steal than what the other ones can rip out too easily. So other challenges that Pastor Commander has faced has been that some thieves tried to steal his motorbike when he was riding it. They sort of got him in an area, and he sort of fell off, but managed to keep his hand on the handlebar. He said to me, "If I'd let go of the handlebar, my bike would have gone." But he kept on it. He kept his hand on. And anyway, God sent someone just turned up and managed to chase the thieves away. He hurt his leg and was laid up for a little bit, but he's back on deck again, and he's doing okay. And also he's had trouble with his right eye, because obviously in a nation like Sierra Leone, they don't really have any eye specialists, you know, and so you've really got to try and work with what they've got, which you may be able to get a few ointment rubs and stuff, and he reckons he's been getting this ointment and he reckons it's been making a difference. I've certainly been praying for his eye every time we speak. just believing that God will, restore and heal it totally. They did give him these glasses. They were monstrous big things. I don't know where they found them, but it was, I haven't got the photo. They were just so, so funny. But I think he's not wearing the glasses anymore at the moment. And the other good news for Pastor Commander is that even in the midst of trials and the circumstances and everything, the paramount chief that originally allowed us to get by that land has actually given him a couple of apartments. Now, they're not, when we say apartments, they're not like the apartments that we would have here, but they're African ones, and that's them there. Now, they do look a lot better than that now. They've done a little bit of work on them, and he's got a place where he can live, and on the other side they can have prayer meetings and everything for the church as well. So that's the apartment buildings. As I said, they look a little bit better than that, but he's been given that, so that's a real blessing. It's certainly encouraged him a lot. You know, he's got somewhere to live. He doesn't have to find somewhere to rent or anything like that. And the other good news is that they've had 30 salvations over this year, and they are all in the church. So that's good. So what we've been giving, what we've been sowing out here, people are being saved in these nations. So we're all accounted, really, for those souls are part of us. So that's in Sierra Leone. Hopefully, next year we'll be able to put a well in as well, and just help develop the land a little bit more. But yeah, so you will hear from all these pastors that I'm talking about next week, when Pastor Stephen does the takes up the offering for Leap into Spring. You will hear from the pastors, and you'll also hear from Lynette Tobin, because we also do a work in India, which I haven't got anything here about today. So we move on to Liberia now. And in Liberia, we've got four churches. And I'll just start with C3 Kakata. That's Pastor John Contessa's church. Now, they've been meeting they've had a building that they've been renting. It was made of sticks. They've been in that building for a number of years, but unfortunately, over time, the building has collapsed just due to obviously the weather they have there, and so they couldn't meet there any longer. This is a little bit of the church building that we are building there. The walls are basically nearly complete. We've just had delays with labor and getting materials making sure we had the right land deed and things like this. So this year progress has been relatively slow. So we'd like to, and this is where they're just meeting now, they're actually meeting in the front of the church building, and Pastor Collie bought them a couple of tarps so they can use that to have meetings, but it's not particularly brilliant because it's not you're not going to hold a revival on just a little piece like that, or get a community out. So when that building is finished, it's a very big building, so it will be able to be used for community endeavors. And I just know that when that happens, and when they can Pastor Collie could go on and do a crusade or something, I'll soon build up the numbers again to what they have had. So that's Kakata. Then we go to Galu. Now Galu, I have been to Galu, and it's quite a way. It's something you can't do it in a day, and go there in the day and come back in the same day. And Galoo's got a church and school there. They're doing really well. C3 Painesville predominantly support them. We've helped just repair the well. We put a well in there a number of years ago and it broke, but we've just had to repair that, and they've got running water again. So that's what we've done in Galoo. There's been 10 salvations during that year, and they're all members of the congregation. So yeah, so it's really good. It's a very thriving little community. So very healthy. Then we move on to the rubber farm. Now this is, I suppose, close to Kakata, but it's a rubber plantation where they get rubber. But it's a very very poor area. People don't have much at all. Probably about 6 years ago, we put a well in. I have been there and have seen the well. We put a well in the rubber farm, and it did make a big difference in the community. But the numbers in Pastor Morris's church have been dwindling over probably this year. And when you lose numbers, it does become discouraging. But anyway, Pastor Colley went to the rubber farm, and earlier this year, we bought a projector, and we bought that specifically so that he could run evangelistic events. So I'm so happy to see that this projector was used for this evangelistic event. Where over 200 people attended over the 2 days. They were all crammed in, and you can have I think we've got a video. Can you drag that video of?
Fire, 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 fire. Listen to me. You are not shaking. You're not shaking. I want you to look at me. Do the thing I'm doing. Set yourself. Make sure you smack the head of the devil. Smack the head of the devil. I want you to bump the devil. I want you to hit the devil. Glory, get him back. I want you to butt him. Come on, say amen. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Holy Ghost fire.
Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, thanks. So that's the how they do evangelism in Liberia. But it was pretty very productive. And out of those meetings, there were 14 salvations, 14 baptisms, and 14 new members in the rubber farm. So that's really encouraging. That's evangelism in action, people being saved, being discipled, and then into the congregation. I think there may be a couple of photos of the baptisms. Yep, they look really happy there. But it was raining, and I can't say the water looked too appealing. And there's them with all their baptism certificates. So it's just been so encouraging for Pastor Morris. That really helped him in a big way. So and from the actual from this outreach, Pastor Colley and Pastor Morris got invited to Bar Camp, which is another town or district type place. It's got a population, I'm told, of about 20,000 people. And in that camp, Pastor Colley led the elders, council chairman, and the youth leader for Bar Camp to the Lord. And I think, is there a photo of a Bar Camp? Might be. No, all right. Anyway, there was a photo I did have of them, but that's really good, because the eldest chairman's going to find them a building that they can use for a church. They've got a youth leader already, because he's in charge of all the youth in Bar Camp, but he's now a Christian. So you will actually hear from him next week. I'm pretty sure there's a clip he just shares of what God's done in his life. So they're really good. Salvations are not just These people have really had a really something significant happen in their lives. Then we're just moving to C3 Painesville. And this is really where we started, in Painesville. And things are really going well there. We're continuing to support 13 teachers and 196 students. So we're paying, and there's that's the kids there. And you'll see there's a little bit of, look like there's soil and that being dug up. Well, C3 Painesville have embarked on a building project, their own building project. We are not supplying any money for that building. It's a pretty big project, three levels, three stories. So we'll get the first one done first and then worry about the next two after that. But they've actually raised, the C3 Painesville congregation has raised money to be able to start building those pillars. And the reality is that building does need upgrading. We're always hoping to do that, but just the costs involved, we just don't have the funds to be able to do it. So they've decided that they're going to do something themselves and get started. And we've also heard of, or Pastor Colley's been contacted by an evangelistic organisation that actually wants to help put money into the church to actually build the church. So if this all comes off, it'll be great, because it will save us having to do that. But I just think it's great that they've been able to step up and actually are doing something themselves. And the other good thing that I'm seeing, that in Painesville, the congregation is very committed. Pastor Florence, her phone had packed up, and a member of the congregation bought her a phone, not a real flash one, but it was $150. So that just tells me that there's actually that there's people that are being successful actually in the congregation. And that, you know, they're willing to buy in and to be committed into building their building. So, and Pastor Colley, he got given the ute. It's just been blessed. You know, someone gave him the ute. Not something we've had to buy, although we did help him fix up the back. So, because he's going to use it for his evangelistic events, they, you know, take a team and cram everything in the back there. They also use it for building work. They're using it to go and get building materials for for Painesville as well. And then on the land we own, we've got another part in another suburb of and this is the cassava plantation that is on our land. We've got, I think it's about 8 blocks in this piece of land. So a lot of it is planted, but I think what we'd like to do would be to maybe put in a chicken farm or something like that, where they could sort of sustain, sell eggs and do that sort of thing, that will save us having to keep sending money over. Well, eventually we want them to become self-sufficient and not really rely on us. And really, the other good news, they've had 12 Salvations at Painesville, and they're all active members in the actual congregation. So it's really a brief overview of what we've been doing this year. Next week you'll hear from some of the pastors. You'll also hear... there'll be a clip of what we've actually want to do next year, and where we want to try and spend our money. But I just really want to encourage you that your giving is making a difference in people's lives. And really, that's what we just don't want to do things. We just don't want to send money to these nations and just really have that money be wasted. We are making a difference. Our lives are being changed. It's not easy. Those nations are not easy to live in. They're not easy to to work in. They're not easy to get around in, around. And, you know, but they persevere. They keep going. And really all our pastors, despite, you know, the difficulties they face, they stand solidly on God's word. They're trusting God. They're, you know, standing on His promises to actually see the work established. And slowly by, you know, slowly it's just starting to twig to them that they can believe God as much as we can believe God. And that's really where we want to head. So, church, that's our presentation. Pastor Stephen, would you like to come?